Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father Bill Hahn, the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Columbus. We are concluding today our conversation on From Christendom to Apostolic Mission, Pastoral Strategies for an Apostolic Age. This is a book written by Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary. It is published by University of Mary Press. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for your blessings. Encourage us in our life as disciples that we may respond to your call, especially to witness, even amidst the difficulties that we face, to witness to your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Monsignor Shea points to this shift from a culture, a Christendom culture that's highly influenced by the church and Christian values, to this new secular one, which requires a new approach. And we even began, I think, to talk about that new approach in our last discussion. I wanted to kind of wrap up on a couple key points that he makes in this new strategy. And then also kind of talk about how Bishop Brennan is especially kind of promoting a new approach, these sort of new strategies in the Diocese of Columbus. What are some kind of points? One of them I think that really struck me, which I think has application to the Diocese of Columbus, is the use of resources. In a Christendom model, there's a lot of sort of institutionalism, you know, in the sense that we set up these different institutions that, one, we may not be able to maintain in this age without, you know, kind of the sort of cultural and all of the larger demographic support to maintain them. So what are some points that Monsignor Shea, that you would make about this sort of re-equipping our resources for mission?
Yeah, so I think maybe the most important piece is just the recognition that because something worked in the past doesn't mean that it should continue, right? And that the needs have changed also. And that we're going to have to undergo a pretty big shift. If the culture has shifted this much underneath us, to keep the structures the same is just not right. It's not the way to serve the Lord. We're on mission as a church, and so we always have to be looking at the lay of the field and then say, how do we best serve here? And so I think that, you know, he talks about how the institution in itself, institution is not a bad thing. You have some Christians on, you know, another extreme who are saying you get rid of the institution and it's just the spirituality. But he points out the Lord instituted, you know, he made institutions. Like, he's the one that founded the church on Peter and said this is going to be the assembly. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, so that the institutions are good so long as they are serving the needs of the current time. And that is evangelization and mission. It's not just providing the old home for everybody that because we've always had it like this, you know, like, because we're comfortable as Catholics with the way things are currently modeled. So looking at what are the needs around us, and you even see this like in recent years, the church moving into like a lot of like the women's health care, you know, like taking care of women who are pregnant, and like, because we saw a new cultural thing that hadn't been there before, widespread abortion. We said, like, mm-hmm. how do we help this? We move resources there, whereas some of the other things we moved resources out of. So the church has been kind of doing this at a slow pace, but I think the call is now to really take a hard look at the culture and make those changes.
And a certain flexibility is going to have to be there. And I think this goes to this sort of reoccurring theme that it's not the collapse of the church, it's a change of epoch, and that we have to be suited for this change of epoch, and it's going to require new approaches. Mm-hmm. And some of that might be the consolidation of resources so that we can do new things or approach things in a new way. Even I think prior to that, in Shea's kind of book, Monsignor Shea's book, is the sort of the basic worldview that we have to have So we've talked about how almost, you know, continual, how in Christendom this the culture, you know, kind of enabled you to practice the faith. But now we each have to have our own kind of personal commitment to it. Mm-hmm. The culture is not going to support it. And not just a personal commitment, but a really strong commitment to it, almost a complete surrender. And when we look at the New Testament, this is what launched Peter and Andrew and everyone, is they encountered Christ, they met him, he broke into their personal life, and they surrendered themselves to him completely, and then this enabled them to live as disciples.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm glad you bring it back to that, because that is the key piece, right, is the supernatural vision of life. Like, once we know it, once we've embraced it, then we are, you know, able to, we want to push out. And so if I could recommend anything to families on, like, how do we prepare for this, or how do we enter into this new culture, it's forming the children in the mindset of the supernatural, that helping them, because they breathe in a completely different kind of air. Mm-hmm. And so being able to understand, and you do that by, like, incarnating the liturgy, like celebrating the saints' days, those feasts and stuff, like that. The liturgy is there to bring heaven to earth, right? It's to incarnate for us that supernatural vision.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Father Bill Hahn. Father, as we kind of take from Shay's book, I think points for the diocese. You know, this is really an exciting time in the Diocese of Columbus. Bishop Brennan, our beloved bishop, is really, you know, called for a new approach, kind of, a deeper planning and strategizing of how the church's presence is going to continue here in a changed culture and a changed environment, even here in Ohio. How we're going to live this new reality. And I think, what are some lessons, and I think, what are you all maybe already seeing as we engage in this planning? There's planning for evangelization, planning for parish life, planning for the life of schools, all of these different things. What are some things that you see, I think, would be effective based on Shay's points?
One thing that I'm kind of involved with some of the university part of the planning right now, and they're seeing some of the new missionaries that are coming in, like Focus, St. Paul's Outreach, like some of these new grassroots lay movements that have a real anointing from the Lord. You know, like, I mean, our institutions, we do, you know, so well, but these kind that are, I don't know if it's that they're freed up, that they're able to get out into the secular culture, and really, you know, you're seeing conversions out of these that I don't think would have happened if it's just the church, just the institution saying, come to us. You know, like it's this, and the diocese has made a conscious decision to allocate resources to that, right? To get them out. So I'd say in that area, just because that's the one I'm most familiar with right now, is where I've seen, but also just in the lay movements of recent times. And, you know, we're blessed, like, with Damascus and our diocese, like these lay movement things that are coming out outside of the institution.
Yeah,
and I think it's wise leadership that's allowing these things to grow rather than to try to bring them all into the institution.
Yeah. Another really interesting thing is in the work of the evangelization planning is both with the parishes and schools, is how can we help people and form people. The people in our pews, the faculty in our schools, to be missionary disciples, to see themselves in a new way as Catholics who know Jesus Christ and have made a personal commitment to him and are really, because of that commitment, set on mission, you know? And I think really allocating resources, and it may be that the way that we do parish life changes rather radically, that instead of X or Y priorities in the parish, our new priorities are let's bring people to Christ. Let's make the Mass and the Sunday liturgy a place of encounter. Let's really form people and give them community support to live this life because the culture is against them. So I think these kind of new approaches in the parish, and then even among our Catholic schools faculty and staff, I think is going to be another crucial way that we kind of adapt to this new way of the church in this new era.
Mm-hmm. I also think maybe that it's, we've so long have judged things on the basis of huge numbers, right? Like as the church was so large, like in our mind, if something wasn't working well unless, you know, hundreds of people were coming to it. Whereas in the new structure, it's more these, as Benedict called it earlier, creative minorities, right? Those small groups that are living the faith so vibrantly that they begin to become a witness to others. And like trying to look, where do we see that already in our diocese? Where do we see these groups that have kind of, that are on fire, and how do we help feed that? You know, I think that's another.
And I think one point really connected to all of this, kind of to end up on, is that Monsignor Shea points out is we need to begin to expect even more of those in the church, those who profess mm-hmm. to be Catholic, to hold them to a much higher standard. I mean, to the standards that we would even hold religious and priests back in the day of Christendom, that all of the baptized are called to be totally committed, totally in on their Catholic faith. And then also to expect less of those outside of the church. You know, like, yeah, there are all these moral issues that are contrary to what we believe as Catholics, but they don't have the gift of grace or the gift of Christ in their life to see how repugnant those things are. And I think that kind of gives us an open heart to engage this secular culture to bring Christ to them. And that's really the ingredients, I think, for evangelization. So until next time, peace and all good.